Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News.
From high atop the milk packing district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Unemployment benefits expire for millions of Americans tomorrow. Comcast is raising your rates, and a police standoff ends peacefully in Hillsborough.
Well, where's the fun in that, I ask? As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, prepare yourselves for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Wednesday, December 1st, 2010.
Now, wait a minute. Now, if today's December 1st, that means yesterday couldn't have been December 1st.
Was not December 1st.
I sure hope somebody took that out of the replay of the show.
Even though I said it was December 1st.
Uh-huh.
Because there was something wrong with
it. Because you're a news person, you wouldn't lie.
No, I wouldn't get something as fundamental as the date wrong.
No, of course not. That would be foolish.
A lengthy police standoff with a suicidal man ended peacefully at a Hillsborough apartment complex. Police arrested 40-year-old Gary Overby at the club at Tannisbourne Apartments at 4 a.m. Wednesday. This is not far from Tim Riley.
What have you got to be suicidal about in Tannisbourne? Cold Stone Creamery's out of sprinkles.
Investigators said Overby was upset about his divorce and sent several text messages to his ex-wife Tuesday that indicated he wanted to kill himself.
You know, friend, just suck it, why don't you, huh? Just do it and spare the rest of us the trouble.
Overby's daughter called police after 11 p.m. Tuesday after she saw him come home. The daughter told police she was not sure if her father still owned a gun. Investigators said Overby refused to come out of the apartment. Dozens of officers swarmed to the scene from Hillsborough, Beaverton, Washington County Sheriff's Office, and the FBI. Members of the Washington County Sheriff's Tactical Negotiations Team made contact with Overby throughout the early morning hours. Police evacuated many nearby apartments and sent the renters away from the scene to some TriMet buses to keep warm and dry.
I think we can remove the phrase, he was a suicidal man, by the way, from the story, because he was in there for like 3 hours with a gun and presumably no one around to stop him.
Actually, they don't know if he really had a gun. He said he had a gun, but police haven't actually revealed whether or not he actually had a weapon, and his daughter said she wasn't sure if he still owned one.
If there's any number of sharp, pointy things in your house, get to work. A couple hours, how long could it take? You sever an artery, bam, you're done. You know what I mean? When I was growing up, they told you if it, like a laundry bag, you know, even if you weren't near it, like if there was a laundry bag in your house, you might just wake up in the middle of the night and it's wrapped around your head like a gremlin trying to steal your breath.
Yeah, you don't want to be like Betty Draper and just let your daughter play with your dry cleaning bags.
That's what I've said. Did she do that at one point?
Yeah, that was in the first season when they were having a lot of fun with the whole like.
Look, it's the 60s.
And I'm smoking and the kids aren't wearing seatbelts.
Things were different.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Millions of jobless Americans will lose their benefits on Thursday after Congress failed to extend help for the long-term unemployed on Tuesday, reports ABC. Democrats pushing for the bill argued that unemployment benefits are a better way to spur the economy than tax cuts for the rich. Republicans countered that Democrats were trying to rush the bill at the last minute. We should have spent time working on this, said Republican Senator Scott Brown at the Senate debate. But we need to work on food safety?
Really?
How much work does it take to just go, yes, people can still get their unemployment benefits?
Is it 1840 already? And by the way, I like the irony of some Republicans who went to work and their job for the day actually consisted of denying unemployment benefits to other people.
Yes. The bill fell short of the two-thirds majority required when it came to a vote on Tuesday. Deficit worries drove Republican objections, but some economists argue that stopping the unemployment benefits bill with an estimated cost of $5 billion per month will actually hurt the economy.
And by the way, we've already got a deficit and a debt that it's like of Gaussian proportions anyway, so it's like, who really cares? Is it where there are eyeballs and hock regardless?
Yeah, Heidi Sayer-Holtz, an economist at the nonpartisan think tank Economic Policy Institute in Washington, D.C., says that it's $5 billion that's yanked out of the economy every month. Each month, almost 1% of the gross the GDP will be taken out of the economy if we don't extend benefits, and that's going to be a massive drag on growth.
All right. Well, that's great.
So, in other happy news, cable TV and high-net internet rates are high-speed internet rates are going up in Portland
faster than inflation, by the way, and faster than incomes.
Oh, yeah.
I noticed there was an article about this yesterday, and don't get me wrong, we have a lot of listeners at Comcast. Many of our peeps are employed at that fine company. I'm just saying, they seem to have a rather elastic sense of what is a reasonable rate hike at certain times in the American fiscal cycle.
Yeah, they announced Monday that they would be raising prices on about half of their customers by at least 3.5%. That's for those who do not subscribe via a promotional offer. In just the last year alone, we've added several channels and increased internet speeds, as well as launched new interactive applications and multi-platform content that customers want and value, said Comcast spokeswoman Teresa Davis.
So now that I've got ESPN9, they can hit me for another $17 a month.
Now they get like two more shopping networks that I never watch.
Don't knock the shopping networks, though. I got to tell you, really, no fooling, that's some of the best entertainment you're going to find on television. They got that In the Kitchen with David thing on QVC. Yeah, that's Wednesdays.
I'll tell you what, if Comcast wants to charge me more money, then Comcast is going to have to work harder to keep my business, because my Wi-Fi cuts out when I'm at home during the high traffic hours, like about every 15 minutes. Like I'm just sitting there doing something and all of a sudden I can't find Google.
Just sort of goes off. There is no Yahoo.
I have to reload three times before the internet goes, oh yeah, I'm working again. Like,
yeah.
Thank you, Comcast.
I had the weirdest experience. I actually called. This is my fault. It's nobody's fault but my own, as Robert Plant would say. I called Comcast, I don't know, a few weeks ago, because it was that thing where I had a credit card and it was like, you know, I get everything set up on the auto pay because I'm such a knob that it's like I'll just forget to pay stuff. And then it'll be like it was when I was a single guy. I'll just come home and it'll be like, I'll just be living basically in a cave. Like, there won't be any power, won't be any heat, like nothing works. You know, there's just gnats and, you know, whatever circling around. But so I have to set everything up on an auto payment system just because of my own inanity and incompetence. And I had set my Comcast auto pay up on a credit card, and there's that thing where like it expires when they say like, what's your expiration date? It was like, well, it's 2 of 10. Well, 2 of 10 like came and went, card expired. I didn't realize this. So I didn't notice that my bill was not being paid, because Comcast does that thing, and I'm not faulting them for this, but it's like when you set up for Comcast, if you say to them like, hey, I'd like to have my bill delivered via email, they send it to that weird @comcast.net email address that, like, I've never used once in my life.
No one uses.
I don't know where that email is. I mean, it's electronically piling up somewhere and has been for, like, 15 years since I moved here. I have no idea where that email address is or how to check it. So, anyway, so I come home and the cable's just off because all of the past due notices were going to the email box that can't be accessed, like, by anyone. Anyway, so I call the guy. This is a long setup to get to a short thing, but I call the guy and he says Comcast, and I said, hey, you know, here's the thing. I'm an idiot and I forgot to pay my bill and my credit card expired. And he walks me through the whole thing and he goes, okay, here's how you log into that, and you know, shoot us your new information. We'll go ahead and get your auto bill set up, and I've turned it back on. And I said, okay. And it's at the end of like a 12-minute phone call, and as we're getting ready to terminate the call, he just goes, all right, best show ever, and then he hangs up. It's the weirdest thing. It was kind of cool, but it was sort of a little strange. It just sort of came out of nowhere. It was like a stealth thing.
And he was waiting the whole conversation, probably.
Yeah.
Just, he like knew he was going to do
That's what I mean. It was like he was just sort of there, just waiting for the, you know, he was like a gorilla of compliments. He was waiting, you know, to strike and then sink back into the ether. So thank you, whoever you might be, fair Comcast employee. This is Don Taylor. By the way, you're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, December 1st, 2010. Coming up later on this hour, we got your entertainment news, also science on the march, the Rick Emerson radio program later on today at rickemerson.com. We'll be talking to Ms. Kelly Clark from Willamette Week, counting down the top 5 David Bowie songs of all time. And we'll have another installment of the greatest songs ever made. This is Don Taylor.
A Multnomah County parole and probation officer is on administrative leave while investigators in Clark County look into allegations he was involved in a felony hit-and-run crash. Anthony Sherman was arrested by sheriff deputies and is being charged with one count of felony hit-and-run stemming from a crash in early October. The victim, Josh Manfredi, said he was at a friend's house on Northeast 89th Street in Vancouver. Manfredi said he was on a scooter when suddenly he noticed a silver Cadillac coming toward him. Sherman's car clipped the front of the scooter and ran over Manfredi's left foot. According to police reports, witnesses saw the crash and chased after the driver's vehicle. One witness told deputies he was able to get Sherman's license plate number. The witnesses confronted Sherman, who told them he didn't know what he had hit. Investigators said that one day after the crash, Sherman called 911. He told dispatchers he had hit what he believed was a skateboard. During the investigation, deputies say they went to Sherman's home and found his Cadillac with front-end damage. They said damage to Sherman's car is consistent with the damage found at the scene.
You know, anytime you think you've hit something, it's always something else. That's just one of the it's one of the reflexive rules of existence. You think a deer, it's really a homeless guy. You think it's a skateboard, it was, in this case, not. It's never a skateboard. It's never what you think the thing actually is.
Yeah, but also, as a parole and probation officer with Multnomah County, you might think twice before you leave the scene of an accident, even if you think you just ran over a skateboard.
Probably. Or just drive to the nearest bar and just sit and wait for the cops to come find you.
The Lane County District Attorney's Office said that no criminal charges are planned against the barista who fatally shot a man during a coffee stand robbery in Eugene.
Excellent.
Described only as a man in his 20s, the coffee shop employee has not been identified. Police said the man who was killed and an accomplice tried to rob the Dutch Brothers coffee drive-thru on the night of November 24th. Police are still seeking information on the second man who fled.
Don't you think they ought to have, like, you know, in the newspaper, they have a sort of, you know, like a in memoriam section for people who've just died, and they have, like, a transitions, you know, for people who are, like, you know, you've been, you know, high-profile people who've been fired by their company or who've left a job or something. They ought to just have, like, a asking for it page, you know, like in the obituary section. You know what I mean? Like, they ought to have, you know, like, sort of senior citizens, and then, you know, like, they have a thing for, like, you know, for prominent, you know, for celebrities or for, you know, for things that are especially sort of tragic, children or whatever. They ought to have one that's just, like, you know, begging for it. And it's like the guy that tried to rob the coffee place, you know? It's just, you know, it's just sort of a lesson to the others.
Yeah, it's sort of a lesser page, like, further back in the Metro section.
Yeah.
It's not with the other obituaries. It's like the obituary page of shame.
And you could make it softer and stronger and thoroughly absorbent so it could be used more than once.
Today is World AIDS Day, when the global community marks both the promises of the fight against AIDS and the remaining challenges.
I'm sorry, was I supposed to get AIDS before I came to the studio? Nobody told me. This is just like on picture day when you forget.
I was going to bring you a gift, but I forgot.
Because we hadn't Kaposi sarcoma, you shouldn't have.
We hadn't put up our AIDS tree yet. Executive Director of the Global Fund, Michelle Kazak, because I don't know how you pronounce his name.
Is the AIDS tree just covered with dirty needles? Zam!
And broken condoms.
There you go.
And broken dreams. Michelle Kazachkine. Let's call him Kazachkine. Michelle Kazachkine says even though Africa is the hardest hit region in the world, there has been remarkable progress there.
70% of the people who live with HIV, with the virus, are in Africa. However, whereas there was almost no one or just a few tens of thousands of people on treatment for AIDS in Africa just 6 years ago, now it is 3.5 million people who are accessing AIDS treatment.
It's astounding. It's almost as though the governments of the world can't find time in their schedule to help Africa or to help a nation consisting almost entirely of black people. It is almost as though, power brokers have got things that they consider more important than that. I mean, I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just saying one could be forgiven for thinking that that is the case.
Kazachkine, whose name is probably pronounced Kazachkine.
And is he another guy named Michelle?
Yes.
I always feel sorry for guys like that because they all remind me of that guy in the Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, but his voice is awesome.
Yeah, no, it is.
I want just this guy's voice.
70% of the people who live with HIV.
Would you like for him to be, be the voice in your bedside clock radio, except not talking about AIDS?
I want that voice for myself. I just want to say everything like that.
Of the people who live with
but that'd freak me out, though, if I sat across the table from you. Then I think my brain was on slow.
I would like a Big Mac. And a large diet Dr. Pepper.
You could say anything.
70% of the people who live with HIV.
Look, I have come to have sex with your wife and then shoot you in the face. It is nothing personal, you understand.
And you go, all right, Michelle, that's awesome.
You will excuse me, my socks are made of cheese.
I would like to set your head on fire.
He says a number of multinational corporations are conducting a marketing campaign to raise awareness of the disease and money to fight it.
Uh-huh.
Armani, Dell, Microsoft, Starbucks, Nike, and a number of others have a selection.
You can't outrun AIDS with shoes.
I think he got some of those names wrong. Microsoft, Starbucks.
Armani, Dell, Microsoft, Starbucks, Nike, and a number of others have a selected number of products called red products. And when you actually buy one of these products.
So let me say this. I'm not even going to play this. So I have to give Starbucks money to give to fight AIDS because Starbucks doesn't have their own money somehow.
No, it's Starbucks. It's actually a knockoff, a lesser Starbucks that's only in the Midwest.
Some sort of a, it's like the like Two Musketeers. So this is a thing where Phil Knight somehow has misplaced his wallet though, and I got to go. All right, Nike, here's $75 so they can give like 4 cents to. And as I think somebody else once noted, you know, if like 70% of a white continent had a disease, you know, or anything going on, I think we'd find the time to go fix it. You know, seems like that might be higher on my priority list. Jesus.
Yeah, I've always been sort of cynical about the products the companies promote to sell to, and like a couple of pennies from it are going to go to something. You know, because it's like, it seems to me that if you really want to help fight something that you think is really important, you're going to like say all of the profits from X are this product. This specific thing are going to go to this. You don't make, say, a pink KitchenAid mixer for breast cancer awareness, and you say 5 cents from this $250 machine are going to go to AIDS, and then like congratulate yourself because you're doing, because it's like a great PR thing for you.
Well, otherwise you might actually have to go help, Don. That's the thing. And so this, here's the, you know what it is? That is sort of a. What is it? It's not an externality. It's another term like that. It's an economic term that they use. And I want to say externality, but that's something else. But it is a way to, you know, they have put a price tag on your own guilt and your own responsibility for helping people on planet. And the price tag is like 5 cents in that case. Or the best part is when they actually just say like a portion. And, you know, the portion is just like is unbelievably minuscule.
Yeah.
You know, where the guy just goes, well, we're going to give tuppence from our profits this year to, you know, and then you just insert whatever.
And then you walk around and go, I'm using a yellow iPhone because, you know, I'm helping to fight malaria.
Exactly.
Like, no, you're not. That's... You're not helping to fight malaria.
Yes. Well, I suppose it's...
But I feel good about myself.
It's their fault for not being born white, Don, or we would have solved their problems already.
Yeah.
All right, here's Don Taylor.
The Smithsonian Institution hustled to extract a controversial video from an exhibition at the National Portrait Gallery on Tuesday after outraged Republican lawmakers threatened to take a look at their funds next year. The 4-minute video was part of an exhibit on difference and desire in American portraiture, the largest, most expensive, and most daring exhibit in the history of the gallery, which is known for its staid portraits.
Where is this, the Smithsonian?
This is the National Portrait Gallery at the Smithsonian.
Okay. All right.
Representative Eric Cantor, among others, didn't exactly appreciate the experimentation. Cantor accused the museum of orchestrating an obvious attempt to offend Christians during the Christmas season.
What's the display?
Well, it's called Ant Covered Jesus.
What's it about? What if it was just like what if you went there and it was just a picture of, you know, it was just like a picture of Ron Glass from Barney Miller for no reason.
Apparently, Ant Covered Jesus is the artist's intention was to depict the suffering of an AIDS victim.
So it's not actually Jesus covered in ants?
I guess. Maybe it's Ant Covered Jesus. I don't know. I'm just looking at this. It says it's called Ant Covered Jesus. And it says it's a video, and all I've got is...
This is like when songs have something other than the chorus as the title, and you're trying to figure out exactly what song it's been hearing on the radio. So it's called Ant Covered Jesus. It's about... AIDS, though.
The suffering of an AIDS victim.
And it may or may not have ants or Jesus. Or Jesus, for that matter.
I don't.
Okay, I'm going to Google ant-covered Jesus right now. All right, let's see.
If nothing else, that would be a great band name.
All right, hold on. Let's see. Ant-covered Jesus.
There can only be so many hits that you'll get for that, really.
It sounds like it ought to be a David Allan Coe song. Ant-covered. Surprisingly, Google is not auto-completing this.
Oh.
Let's see. Ant... covered Jesus. No, there were no suggestions whatsoever. Mm. All right, let's see. I'm just going to go right to images. Hold on a second. The first thing, okay, by the way, you Google ant covered Jesus. The first thing that comes up is just, I swear to God, I'm sure that somebody made this as like a jibe of some sort. is just a huge seal of an eagle, and it's like the crest of the president, and it just says, Thought Police, United States Ministry of Truth. There appear to be no actual photo.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing. Don't ever Google ant-covered Jesus, by the way. The second thing is a picture of Fred Durst. The third thing is a picture, I swear to Christ, the third picture at Google Image Results is Spock looking at Bones, and somebody has put in a word balloon that says, do you prefer fried or scrambled? This doesn't make, maybe this is the art exhibit itself, right? Maybe I'm supposed to Google it, and then it's like what I see is it's sort of like, then it's like, well, what do you think ant cover Jesus means? Woo, I am the Eggman. All right, and then there's just a picture of a guy from Sons of Anarchy. This doesn't make any sense at all. And then there's a flower.
Okay, just stop reciting Google.
No. I got to do like one more here. Okay, and then there's this is the perfect one to end on. Then there's just a picture of Buddy Christ.
Oh.
And we actually have a Buddy Christ here in the studio as well. All right, there you go.
Okay.
Ant-covered Jesus. The phrase is ant-covered Jesus. Okay, Jamie Farr.
The chairman of President Obama's Debt Reduction Commission have put off a vote on their proposals after failing to get any of its elected members on board, reports the New York Times. Former Senator Alan Simpson, Republican, and former Clinton Chief of Staff Erskine Bowles, a Democrat, have now set the vote by the 18-member panel for Friday and plan to use the intervening days to persuade reluctant members to support the proposed spending cuts and increased taxes. Republican Senator Judd Gregg said the country cannot afford to drag its feet on solving this problem.
I'm going to vote for it because I know it's moving us in the right direction.
This is another thing where I have to turn everything off because he can't speak properly.
I'm going to vote for it because I know it's moving us in the right direction, not because I agree with all the different parts of it. But it's time to act. It's time to govern. It's time to move forward.
Okay.
The commission had hoped to offer a roadmap for addressing budget deficits and ballooning national debt. The current plan would cut military spending, encourage savings on health care, raise the retirement age to 69, and axe a popular mortgage tax break.
I thought the retirement age was already 70.
No, I think it's still 65.
Really?
Is mandatory.
Can I just... But here's the thing. I don't understand what that means. When they say the retirement age is 65, what the hell does that mean?
I think that means that's the age when you can start... collecting Social Security benefits.
But it's not a mandatory retirement
age. No, it's not mandatory retirement. But that's I was misspeaking.
But, I mean, is there... There is no mandatory retirement age.
Not in the government, no. There are in companies, but not in the government. But the thing is, by raising the retirement age to 69, that's four more years before people can start collecting Social Security
benefits. I don't think a company can have a mandatory retirement age. That would be illegal.
No, I think so.
That would be age discrimination.
Well... Maybe they don't have them anymore. I know that they did at one time.
I mean, that would just be, I mean, you know, I say now with, you know, with the bright shining hope of youth, you know, that doesn't affect me, Don. I'm young and spry. It just seems like if you had, that would be like a store kicking you out if you were 65.
Well, considering we live in a state, the state of Oregon, where we have what they call no fault, where employers can fire people without giving any reason.
Right.
I mean, you know,
that almost makes more sense, right? Because in America, you're not really allowed to fire people for a reason anymore. Like you can almost only fire them for no reason. Because otherwise, if you were to go, well, I just don't like the cut of your jib, then it's like a lawsuit, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, in many states, though, an employer actually has to prove cause. For firing someone before the person can get employment benefits.
But see, the cause couldn't just be like that you had another birthday. Like a thing that is inviting legal action. I don't understand how anything works.
Our culture demands that we always pass on to our children.
It demands?
Our culture demands that we always pass
demands.
On to
demands.
Our children. All
right. I'm a classy gal.
And a more secure nation.
Okay.
Because of our fiscal...
No, you're done. All right,
well, the panel's Democrats are nervous about the proposal's impacts on health care and Social Security. The Republicans on the committee are against the plan because it bumps up taxes on rich Americans.
Okay.
Yeah. Interpol has issued a red notice for WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange in relation to alleged sexual misconduct, reports the BBC.
That's hard to believe.
A red notice amounts to a request for people to contact the International Police Organization if they know anything about his location. Assange, 39, is wanted for questioning in Sweden regarding allegations of rape and molestation in the country in August. Assange, who remains in hiding and frequently changes location to avoid detection, has said the charges are part of a campaign to discredit him. His mother, Christine, has voiced her concern about the alert. He's my son, and I love him, and obviously I don't want him hunted down and jailed. I'm reacting as any mother would, she said in a radio interview. A lot of stuff that's written about me and Julian is untrue. What are they writing about his mother?
I think we know. One word, Campari.
Is it kind of a Gretchen Mol, Jimmy sort of a thing?
See, I was going Larry Flint, or I was going Jerry Falwell, you know, and then, yeah.
If Interpol were to locate Assange, he would be extradited to the United States, although some countries might be reluctant to hand him over, given that the maximum penalty under U.S. Espionage Act is the death penalty.
Oh, someone's miscalculated. I mean, it's on the one hand, you can't be a guy releasing troves of documents about how the United States is evil, and then on the other hand, express surprise when they decide to do something about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, supervillains do what supervillains do, friend. You can't, you know, you point out that Lex Luthor has no pants, bad things happen to you. You are listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. This program brought to you by Castalia Language Center. Find out more about it. If you're on the run from Interpol, you might find that a second language is useful. You might find that it comes in handy. You say, please, I need asylum. But you want to say it, you know, in at least two languages. I mean, so double your chances. You find out more about Castalia Language Center by going to Portland Spanish. .com. That is PortlandSpanish.com. They offer Spanish language classes for adults, which means that once you're out of high school, once you're out of college, and you find yourself, you know, sort of out there, get a job, family, kids, whatever, your schedule can get a little dicey, and it's not always easy to find time to further your education. And so as a result, you know, you just end up like 50 years of age, and your brain is just basically a pat of butter inside your head, and you don't want to do that. So you want to keep it in shape, and one of the best ways you can do that is by learning another language. So, and Spanish is a massively useful language in and of itself. So, I mean, for its own sake, it's worth learning. But it also keeps your brain functioning properly. Keeps it highly trained, as they say. So you go to PortlandSpanish.com to find out more about that. And even if you've got a busy schedule, you got a busy life, you got a job, two jobs, you know, kids, whatever, they can usually find something that works with your schedule. And at Castalia Language Center, you're not going to learn just through, you know, just rote memorization, just having to remember stuff and then just spit it back out without knowing what it means. You actually learn how to use it in conversation. So tell me you heard it here, if you would. That is a Castalia Language Center. Find out more about them at PortlandSpanish.com. Don't forget, a little bit after 1 o'clock, the Rick Emerson radio program comes up. We got Ms. Kelly Clark from Willamette Week joining us today. Also, the top five David Bowie songs, another installment of the greatest songs ever made, and so forth. This is Don Taylor.
A Portland family of three was saved by a father who called 911 Wednesday morning to report a seizure of his child in what turned out to be a house filled with deadly levels of carbon monoxide. When Portland Fire Bureau crews arrived at the home in Southeast 15th and Lambert about 6 a.m., they found a woman and child lying down at the bottom of the stairs. The father was agitated, confused, and said he felt ill. Firefighters knew right away that something unseen was amiss in the Selwood neighborhood home. Gas detectors showed carbon monoxide levels at 400 parts per million. At 35 to 100 parts per million, people will start to experience flu-like symptoms. Firefighters are not allowed to work at levels beyond 35 without oxygen masks and tanks. And in this house, it was at 400.
This is, you know, I feel bad for the flu because everything is associated with it. Everything bad. Doesn't matter. Carbon monoxide poisoning, Ebola. It starts with flu-like symptoms. Flu really is just, it's like the worst possible disease. It's like, you know what it is? Flu is sort of just like, it's just like if you looked like every mugshot in the world, you know? Police are looking for this man. And then it was like your face.
Flu is like that ne'er-do-well kid who lives down the street that everything got blamed on.
Seriously, yeah.
It was all that bastard Dickie's
fault. It's
that fault.
Jimmy down the street, yeah.
Firefighters learned the family had come home around midnight from vacation. They turned on their gas furnace and a gas appliance that was connected to their fireplace. Crews immediately shut off the gas. Because of the father's quick actions, his family is alive today, said the fire spokesman. Demonstrates why anyone who believes they have an emergency should not delay and call 911 immediately. So, unless, of course, you know, your city starts making you pay for it.
Yes.
Eating disorders among children are rising at an alarming rate, according to a new report from the American Academy of Pediatrics. Lead author Dr. David Rosen says it's happening among a different group of patients than they've seen in the past.
Dr. Rosen, I believe. This is Eating One.
That is.
Let's see here.
Younger patients, more boys, patients of color, patients from a wider variety of socioeconomic backgrounds than what people typically think of when they think of eating disorders.
Rosen says, in a way, the fight against childhood obesity might be partially responsible.
Some kids, particularly younger kids who are not so sophisticated in their thinking, that translates into dieting. They're very black and white concrete thinkers. Fat must be bad, and so they stop eating it.
This is all the fault of that guy from Silverchair, really. He's to blame for everything here.
So it's a lack of sophisticated thinking on the parts of children that caused them to diet because they live in a society that is constantly telling them that being fat is about the worst thing you can possibly be. Well, it's their unsophisticated thinking.
And I like the idea that I like the idea that there's no correct choice, you know? That if you tell the kids to just eat crap, then that's, you know, then you're at fault. If you tell the kids, you know, to be thin, that you're at fault. Really, there is no way out of this. This is like the Kobayashi Maru of caloric intake.
Rosen says adolescents should be screened by their doctors for these disorders.
Yes, because it requires a lot of screening. I can see your spine.
When we catch eating disorders early, before there's been substantial weight loss, before the behaviors really get...
Is this a Muppet?
We have a much easier time treating these patients.
All right. Thanks for clearing it up.
Let's do our science news.
There you go. There's your one. Okay. It's your science news for whatever the hell this is. Is this Wednesday? It is Wednesday,
isn't
it?
It is Wednesday, December 1st.
Here's your science news brought to you by Squires Electric. Find out more about them at squireselectric.com or 503-252-1609. 503-252-1609. Since you're probably busy screening your children for, bulimia or whatever, you don't worry about the screening your home wiring system for its fortitude and for its efficiency and for its...
That was like the worst segue ever.
The worst segue ever. And then I wanted to say, and then I was trying to make up a word that had to do with, I was trying to come up with some sort of a synonym for reliability, and my brain, I wish you could see what was going on inside my brain right there, like one of those YouTube videos where they take like a White Stripe song and they do like a typographic thing with the words on the screen. My brain was trying to take three different words and mash them all together into a new synonym for reliability, and then it just sort of went blah inside my mouth.
From over here, it honestly looked like you had a little guy inside your head, like Batman sitting at that giant computer console he has in the Batcave, and you just kept pushing buttons and pushing buttons, but you weren't getting...
Nothing worked.
Nothing was coming out.
Yeah, there was nothing coming together there. Yeah, that was a total lockup, what happened. 503-252-1609. 503-252-1609. They can come to your house and make sure that it's going to be outfitted properly for winter in terms of your electrical wiring, in terms of your internet wiring, in terms of your business. If you moved into a separate office, if you're going to be moving into a different home, or if your business is going to be expanding in the new year, you want to make sure that everything works properly before you get in there and flip on the switches and find out that you just got to get it all redone from scratch, because you don't want to get the house built, you don't want to get the office expanded, and find out that walls are going to be taken down, you've got to get things rewired. So especially if it's a pre-existing building, sometimes you get buildings from the earlier, mid to 20th century on. Sometimes you would think that they'd be wired correctly. Sometimes they're not. It's just not capable for it's not capable of handling the electrical load you're going to put on it. And if you're going to be branching your business out into two buildings, three buildings, four buildings, you want to keep your costs down, and that means doing the job right the first time. So you find out more about the wiring in your home or in your business at 503-252-1609 or squireselectric.com. Here is your Science on the March for Wednesday.
Speculation that life has been discovered beyond Earth exploded on the internet after NASA announced plans for a briefing involving scientists who study unusual life forms. The briefing, set for tomorrow, focuses on a paper being published in the journal Science, which has not yet been made public. But when it is released, the paper will be a disappointment to those speculating about its contents. It does not report finding life outside of Earth, according to science writers who have seen the paper.
Let me understand this. So the people on the internet are, they're insisting that something has been proven and been discovered beyond a reasonable doubt. But the actual reality of the discovery may not, in fact, prove that.
Right.
Okay, just checking.
So, if you have a heart attack in New York, you'd better hope they don't send two ambulances, because the first one is for you, but the second one could be for your kidneys. The New York Times reports that the city is participating in a pilot program designed to improve the rate of organ collection from people who die of cardiac arrest.
Oh, wow.
Usually, the organs of people who die outside hospitals are unfit for transplanting because they've gone too long without blood supply. But starting Wednesday, EMS will dispatch a team of, quote, organ preservation experts to the sites of some heart attacks. The kidney specialist will stay out of sight until a supervisor has declared a resuscitation effort failed.
They're sort of lurking around the corner, peering around at you with like a, with like a cloak and a scythe.
And the paramedics working on the patient won't know whether the team has even been dispatched, so officials say patients don't have to worry about paramedics letting them die so they can get their hands on their kidneys.
How is he doing?
Only people who have registered as organ donors and whose families have given consent will be subjected to organ preservation.
Salmon mousse.
Last year, more than 7,000 people in New York City needed organ transplants, but there were only 285 deceased organ donors.
That's fantastic. That's great. And there's no Monty Python reference that I can't tie into this. There's like the live organ transplant thing. I haven't even gone there. Wow. That's just, I mean, they ought to just, you know, just a bunch of guys just sort of like in black trench coats just hovering around the periphery and staring at you while they try to, while they do the paddle things on your chest.
And that's your job. Somebody says, hey, what do you do for the, I drive the kidney wagon.
Just sitting there with like, just sitting with a can opener, just waiting for the for you to flatline.
I'm down the hall around the corner in the apartment building reading a comic book waiting to see if the guy dies.
Just looking, you know, just seeing the guy kicking out the cord on the defibrillator. Ooh, sorry.
A new study finds that enzymes in mice's nasal mucus.
Mice's?
That's what it says, mice's. Well, yeah, because it would be something that belongs to mice.
All right, no, I thought you were doing a plural fail there.
No, it's that belongs to mice.
Okay, no, I understand now. I'm just saying early on in the sentence.
Enzymes in mice's nasal mucus transform certain scents before the nose can detect them. The results published December 1st in the Journal of Neuroscience shows that snot may feature prominently in our sense of smell.
Mm.
It's completely unexpected that snot would play a potential role in changing how we perceive odors, says neuroscientist Leslie Vosshall at Rockefeller University in New York City. Most people and most scientists pay no attention at all to mucus. But there's more to mucus than what meets the nose. The thick goo that serves to lubricate the nose is teeming with proteins and protein-chopping enzymes. Some of these molecules are thought to catch smells and shuttle them to odor receptors in the nose. Other components may protect the body from toxic chemicals by chopping them up into harmful pieces. But harmless peanut pieces. But no one knows whether this chopping action has any effect on smell perception. In the new study, scientists added particular odorants to tiny amounts of mucus sucked out of a mouse's nose and tested the resulting chemical composition of the mix. After 5 minutes of sitting in the snot, about 80% of almond-smelling benzaldehyde was converted to benzyl alcohol, a scent found in some teas and plants, and odorless benzoic acid.
Just stupid sometimes. It's just a big waste of time every now and again.
So the odor transformation happened inside the mice's noses and was reflected in their brains, too. They get signals from the smell-sensing nerve sense, so they think that when the scent-chopping enzyme goes into effect, there's like an activation in the brain that suggests that snot enzymes affect what the mouse smells.
How do they know it smelled different?
I think
they ask them out, raise one, squeak once for yes, or you'd waggle your tail. You know, twitch one of your ears 3 times if it smells more
like
pralines. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all. That implies some. I think maybe the largest story here is that we can apparently communicate with mice.
Yes.
So
we can ask them what things smell like.
Seems like that ought to be bigger news than, you know, whatever their snot is doing. And I'm not going to do any of the obvious puns, so quit typing them. It's just not going to happen. All right, just go back to typing "fail" in all caps.
That's all the science.
Really?
For today.
Are we going to end on mouse snot?
Yes.
I'm sorry, mice's snot.
Mice's snot.
There you go. There's your science news, improbably enough. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget, you can get this program on your mobile device as well. That is mobile.cascadia.fm. Mobile. Cascadia.fm. Coming up next hour, we have your... I'm sensing a penis watch next hour.
A penis watch,
look
yes
at that.
Indeed.
Penis watch, also top 5 David Bowie songs. Kelly Clark from Willamette Week, greatest songs ever made, and so forth. That's coming up in the Rick Emerson radio program. You can find out more about that at rickemerson.com.
Clackamas County Sheriff's deputies are asking for help in identifying 3 teens who say they vandalized a Milwaukee Bank's ATM. Deputies say surveillance photos show the teens damaging the U.S. Bank machine on Southeast McLaughlin Boulevard on November 21st. Damage to the machine is estimated at $4,017, and deputies say the ATM could not be repaired. The bank had to replace it altogether, which cost more than $17,000. Anyone with information that can lead to arrests in this case are asked to call the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office. An electronic crosswalk sign near the Maple Street Bridge in Spokane, Washington, is apparently showing its disapproval of either the weather and or local drivers by giving people what is commonly referred to as the Bronx Salute.
Is that the finger?
That is the finger.
I don't think it's commonly referred to as the Bronx Salute by anybody except people
in
the Bronx. Cheer is a raspberry.
It's a raspberry. So
yes.
I never heard it called a Bronx Salute before.
No, it's not. It's not called that. This is written by someone in Spokane, which means they were lucky to make it out of the second grade.
The crossing sign, located in downtown Spokane, Spokane in the northbound lanes of Maple, south of the Maple Street Bridge, has been somehow modified so that when the don't walk hand is displayed, only the upraised middle finger is visible. City of Spokane spokesperson Marlene Feist said the street department personnel think the electronic sign may have snow somehow wedged inside of it, obscuring all but the palm and raised middle finger.
Well, that's, you know, there's any number of, and I don't know anything about this. I certainly don't know how this happened. I wouldn't in any way know the parties responsible. But, you know, there are any number of those red hand, don't cross the street things in Southeast Portland that have been somehow modified, and so they just make devil horns now.
Ah.
I, of course, we don't know anybody. We certainly don't see anybody on an almost daily basis that knows anything about how that happened.
Well, the woman here from Spokane said apparently this is inside the crosswalk sign, so it was unintentional. It just did it all on its own. Apparently,
I wonder if they have those like I wonder if they're like the whatever those ODOT signs. I mean, like in other words, if they can be reprogrammed. Like if it's basically a square of lights that have multiple purposes, and one of the designs you can pick is like depending on what lights you light up. If it's like a light bright, basically,
yeah,
you can
it's
make
$1 million light bright, basically.
Yeah, and so I mean, it seems like, what if you could actually modify, but like removing certain lights or just turning certain lights off. I like to think that it's intentional, you know. I don't know which is better, actually. The idea that it's intentional, that somebody decided to liven up his dull Spokane existence. Or if it's just, you know, if it's just like one of those weird, like, fractal geometry things. Like, it just sort of occurred, like a snowflake.
It's the hand of God showing disapproval for Spokane as a whole.
It's the finger of Providence.
By a vote of 73-25, the Senate has passed a food safety bill. Senator Tom Harkin is one of the co-sponsors of the bill.
Food.
The Food Safety Modernization Act will bring America's food safety system into the 21st century. This bill gives the FDA the authority the agency needs to help protect Americans from foodborne illnesses.
Harkin describes this as a major step forward.
This is what they were doing instead of working on the unemployment thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
With the passage of the Food Safety
The passage of the bill has it's been successful, Don.
With the passage of the Food Safety Modernization Act by this overwhelming vote of 73-25, we have taken
this is the dullest soundbite we've ever played.
The food safety in America.
Wow.
So, do you know anything about this? I mean, what is the food safety bill? Is it?
I have no idea.
Because honestly, I find it hard to believe that the FDA didn't already have authority to make food manufacturers not poison people.
They are the Food and Drug Administration.
Yeah.
Also, there's, what do you call it, the FTC, and also, like, the rest of the government. The government doesn't really seem to have a problem. They took goddamn Four Loko off the market in, like, a day and a half.
Yeah, doesn't this feel like one of those things where they're going, oh, yeah, we had all those cases of, like, botulism in the spinach. Let's pass a bill that says that we're against that.
Really? No, you know what this seems like? This seems like just sort of a this seems like something they just kept in their back pocket until the day where they really, like, no one wanted to go to work, or it was like everybody was hungover or something, but it's like they had to, we got to get something done to prove that we should be reelected.
Or
Let's do that.
The first day that the Republicans all showed up after getting elected and they had to work on something.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, they just picked the thing that was, you know, that basically just required the bare minimum of cerebral function to process and vote on. All right, let's just...
With the passage of the Food Safety Modernization Act by...
All right, here's Don Taylor.
Let's do our entertainment news.
Here's your entertainment news for Wednesday right here at Legion of News.
Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver Chad Ochocinco confirmed that he is engaged to Basketball Wives reality star Evelyn Lozada. Ochocinco talked about the news during an interview on Ryan Seacrest's radio show on Tuesday. Yeah, man, it's time for me to sit down. Enough is enough. I'm 32. You know, my days are over. Yeah, those are the words every woman wants to hear.
That's the spirit. I'm settling, Ryan. It's time to throw in the towel for all the fun and enjoyment of my life.
I'm old. I can't have fun anymore. I might as well get married.
I no longer wish to enjoy things, so I've decided to get married.
Lozada is a former girlfriend of ex-Boston Celtics forward Antoine Walker. But apparently she's on the show Basketball Wives.
But she's single.
So is she a friend of Basketball Wives? Is she
a former basketball wife?
Yeah, I'm confused.
But she
now.
She said she dated Walker. Or she was married to him.
Just former girlfriend of him. So, I think perhaps the show Basketball Wives plays fast and loose with the concept of what a wife actually is.
This might have been misrepresented to us.
Disney employees on Tuesday protested in front of the entrance of Walt Disney World shortly after its union released a short documentary film about claims Disney doesn't pay its employees well and charges them too much for health care insurance. Eric Clinton, president of Local 362, said the film was created because Disney's not listening. When you're talking and people don't listen, you have to raise your voice, Clinton said. The two sides have been negotiating since June. Disney is offering some employees a 3% raise each year for the next 3 years. They would also get a $550 bonus. Other employees who are in their top pay grade would receive a 2% raise the first year, 2.5% the second year, and 2.5% the third year. Clinton said for some employees, the raise would be a wash when you factor in the increasing cost of health care insurance. Andrea Finger, a spokeswoman for Disney, said it's not a wash for the employees if the bonus is factored in. And she said Disney appreciates its employees and believes a guaranteed pay raise for the next 3 years is a good deal. A man convicted of stalking Uma Thurman has been formally charged with 2 counts of criminal contempt for allegedly violating a restraining order the actress took out against him. Jack Jordan reportedly broke court rules in October by making a series of calls to Thurman's cell phone and her New York office, prompting Thurman to lodge an official complaint with the police. Authorities stormed Jordan's mother's home in Maryland last week and arrested the 39-year-old, placing him under medic's observation. He was indicted in Brooklyn, New York on Friday and hit with 2 counts of criminal contempt for allegedly violating Thurman's order of protection. Jordan was found guilty of fourth-degree stalking and 1 count of second-degree aggravated harassment in 2008 after sending Thurman creepy letters and threatening to kill himself outside her home.
Does it really say creepy letters?
It says creepy letters.
That's fantastic. I always regretted that I didn't really have a stalker, you know? It's like I figured that's how you know you've made it. That's a bellwether of success.
I guess. I've never had a stalker either, but I have had, like, people kind of fixate on me that were extremely creepy and kind of and started getting kind of threateny, and they weren't actually stalking me, per
what
se.
What sort of threateny?
Internet. Just post.
Like, I'm gonna cut off your head and put it in a camera bag?
Well, posting things about one on the internet in the third person and saying things about, like, I could get her address really easily, and I could, you know, stuff like that.
That's sort of unnerving.
It is unnerving. Yeah.
I used to, there was, when I lived in Salt Lake, there was this guy who would call the front desk occasionally, and he would always hang up. After he said this, but he would call the front desk and this woman, Kay, would answer. And he would say, I know what time Rick Emerson gets off the air and I know what kind of car he drives. And then he would just hang up.
Dear God, that's kind of stalky.
It was sort of, I mean, it was kind of great though, like, because I was thinking, like, this is it. I am nearing the apogee of my success.
You're going down like John Lennon.
Yeah, and then it's like, and then he just quit calling. So it's like, I felt like I was, my career had taken a downward trend when he quit calling me.
He got fixed it on like, Don and Mike or something.
Yes.
He started calling Gustav.
Mary, Carrie, and Larry in the morning.
Veteran actor Brian Blessed stunned diners during a business conference in London after he clashed with a guest who criticized his cult film Flash Gordon, according to a news report. The 74-year-old star, who has been in show business for 40 years, was hired as a celebrity after-dinner speaker at a lavish bash for Britain's Federation of Wholesale Distributors last week.
That's a really, really, that's a carousing group of folks, let me tell you.
However, guests didn't get a chance to hear Blessed's trademark booming tones after he was reportedly embroiled in a bust-up with a businessman at his table who called Flash Gordon crap. According to the Daily Mail, a furious Blessed grabbed the man, shouting, I am not standing for this, before storming out of the venue without fulfilling his speaking duties, for which he had charged a £6,500 fee. The unnamed man who made the comment tells the publication, all I said was that I did not rate Flash Gordon, that I thought it was crap. Blessed got upset, grabbed me, and walked out. I honestly don't know why. I didn't call him any names. I had my group managing director sitting next to me. A fellow guest at the event said, he seemed in a very good mood all evening, and then he just flipped.
That's fantastic. I like the idea that the guy was then trying to sort of, you know, he was trying to mitigate it by just saying, look, I don't hate him personally. He hasn't wronged me in any way. It's just that Flash Gordon is crap, which, by the way, that is a debate into which I'm not gonna wade, because I know that people get very, like, I have
Blessed apparently takes it very personally.
I have, like, really, really, like, hardcore nerd friends who don't like that movie at all, who think it's terrible. But I think it's like, I think Aaron Duran is a huge fan of it. And not just because of the Queen thing. I think he's just a big fan of it in general.
I'm not a fan, but I guess I could see the appeal. But, you know,
Again, though,
it's one of those movies that if you appreciate it, you appreciate it because it's campy. You can't honestly argue sincerely that it's good.
And because you saw it when you were 9.
Yeah.
You know, that's the sort of thing. I think Brian Blessed was in, I think he was in Blackadder, too. I think he was, like, in the early, like, the first or second season of Blackadder.
Yeah.
All right, here's Don Taylor.
That's all the entertainment.
Really?
Yeah.
We're ending on Flash? Okay.
Brian Blessed tossing a guy around. Pretty good.
Sir, I reject your insinuation. All right, there's your entertainment news right here at legionofnews.com. Don't forget the Rick Emerson radio program comes up next hour at rickemerson.com. That's where you can find out more information about that. It's a mountain. It's a pile. It's a swath. It's a veritable cornucopia. It's an endless expanse of entertainment for a mere 32 cents a day. You can find out more about that at rickemerson.com today. Kelly Clark from Willamette Week, top five David Bowie songs. We'll have another installment of the greatest song ever made and a penis watch. Also, we'll talk more about our excursion to Christmas Mountain Trees, which is coming up this Saturday, December 4th. In the meantime, here's the thing. You go to ChristmasMountainTrees.com right now, just like it sounds, ChristmasMountainTrees.com, and they actually opened last Friday, November 26th, the day after Thanksgiving. So they're now open. They are running Wednesday through Friday, 10 to 4:30. Saturday, Sunday, 9 to 4:30. You can find out more, again, at ChristmasMountainTrees.com, and you've also got the driving directions. I can tell you how to get to the place. You can go to their Facebook page as well, which is Facebook.com/ChristmasMountain. And there they actually post weather updates, so you can go on to take, because you might want to go there when it's not snowing or when the weather's cleared up. On the other hand, you might want to wait until there's a little snowfall, until there's a little chill in the air, so you can sort of replicate the Christmas experience that you've seen in your head for so long. It is a family farm. It's been owned and operated by the family for three generations, going on four. Started back in 1942, and they grow Christmas trees year-round. I mean, Christmas trees just quite literally, as far as the eye can see, when there's 80,000-some-odd trees up there, and the view just goes on forever. You go up, and it's a couple-hour experience with your family. You can actually stay there for a long time. There are people that spend 4, 5, 6 hours sort of trying to fixate on picking the very best tree possible. But you go there with your family, you'll be taken through to look as many trees as you could possibly want or imagine until you find the one that is right for you guys. They'll take you through on, you can either walk through or you can go through on a wagon ride. They'll take you through with your family. You pick out the tree. Then you go back. You sit in front of a roaring fire. You get yourself a cup of hot cider, hot chocolate, coffee, whatever. And you watch as they sort of take the tree. They'll take the excess needles off. They'll bind it up. They put it in your car and you're good to go. And, I mean, it really is, it makes the entire day, I don't want to say an adventure, but it makes the entire day something that is really enjoyable, as opposed to something that seems like it ought to be fun, but ends up just being something you feel like you got to get done because you're having to fight traffic to go to a Christmas tree lot in front of a Walmart or something. So, it's like nobody dreams of doing that for the Christmas. I want to go stand in front of a Shopko and choke on exhaust. So don't do that. You go to ChristmasMountainTrees.com to find out more. ChristmasMountainTrees.com. Here is Don Taylor.
Well, the WikiLeaks experiment here is just getting funner and funner all the time. News agencies are reporting that while the diplomatic cables have thus far failed to reveal any secret CIA prisons or important assassination attempts, we now know that a former senior diplomat called Britain's Prince Andrew a twat. Also, in somewhat more substantive but still sort of amusing news, American officials reported in cables that millions of dollars meant to help Pakistan fight the Taliban mysteriously disappeared, vanished into lined items like barbed wire, $26 million, and radar maintenance, $70 million, in spite of the fact that the Taliban has no air force. But Vladimir Putin, for one, is not finding it amusing. In an interview set to air on Larry King, the Russian prime minister pushed back against the idea that Russia is becoming an oligarchy run by the security services, a belief attributed to Defense Secretary Robert Gates in one of the cables. Putin pointed out the American Electoral College isn't terribly democratic, but Russia knows how to keep its mouth shut. When we were talking with our American friends and tell them there are systematic problems with the Electoral College system, we hear from them, don't interfere with our affairs. This is our tradition, and it's going to continue like that. We are not interfering. But to our colleagues, I would also like to advise you not to interfere with the sovereign choice of the people of Russia.
When Putin says something like, but we know how to keep our mouths shut, I wonder if he did just send glowers at Larry King for a while, just breathing really heavily through his nose.
I just love the idea of Putin just like, I have things to say that I want the American people to hear. Who can I talk to? Oprah? Oprah's busy? Larry King.
Get me Larry King.
Google will launch its e-book venture, Google Editions, by the end of this year, reports Wall Street Journal. Though the company is coming late to the game, Amazon.com already has cornered 65% of the e-book market. Google hopes to gain ground by offering e-books that can be read on any web browsing device and purchased from a variety of retailers, including local independent bookshops. Amazon readers, by contrast, are tethered to their Kindle tablets or devices running Kindle software, and can purchase books only from Amazon.
Don't they already have this? Isn't it called a PDF?
Yeah.
Okay. Or, you know.
Or libraries, or where just, you can go just get a book.
You know, or just, you know, text. I mean, I guess maybe the whole thing is trying to make it proprietary or whatever, so you can't. But they've already got, you know, but you can do that with stuff now anyway, where you can't be, a file can't be opened on more than one computer or more than three computers. Mm-hmm. You know, like I got the, you know, like I use a music subscription service, and it's, you know, and you can run it on, I think, three devices. And if you try to access it on a fourth device, it you know, depending on what it is, it either says like, hold up there, bub, and says no. Or if it's something you own, you know, like if you verify that it's you, like you have to turn one of the other devices off or something. So it doesn't seem like we have difficulty doing that. Like, what is the? I don't understand like the differing technology here.
I don't know.
Unless it's like some sort of, is this like some sort of interactive book of tomorrow?
I guess everybody's trying to do a thing where, if you buy something from them, I don't know.
I mean, I'm not trying to be deliberately obtuse about it. I'm just saying, like, okay, I can get downloading a book and reading on a thing. Like, it's not a thing I do, but whatever. But it seems like you could do that now again. You just, you know, do that. We do do that. We've been doing it for like 15 years. You just download a thing and you read it. There it is. Bam. Done.
Yeah, but I think, but I don't know.
I don't understand the, I don't see the X factor here. I don't understand like the hurdle between here and there.
No, the thing is that e-books are, they're not PDFs. They're
right, but why not? Like, what's the difference?
I don't know.
Okay.
You're making my head hurt.
I'm not, you know, I'm not saying there isn't a difference. I'm just saying I don't know what it is. If you were to, PDF is searchable. Sometimes, depending on the settings, it's copyable and pasteable. It's even alterable, depending on how it's set. So,
do you have that thing where you can, like, just tap it and the page turns? See?
Yeah, actually, really? On mine. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If I open a PDF, well, not on a computer because you don't hit the glass or whatever, but on my iPhone, I have a PDF reader and I hit it and it goes, I do have a book on my iPhone that I am not reading because the screen is too small, but it was the thing I experimented with. I'm like, do I want to read a book? And I downloaded it's like if somebody scanned in some book as a PDF, you know, and it was like, you know, it's like, here, I wrote a book about possums, you know, and I just downloaded it and I got it and it's like, you hit the thing and it goes, next page.
Is it really about possums?
It is. It's not about possums. It's like some crap that some guy wrote. But he actually was like, you know, blah, 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 and I've uploaded it, and here it is, and, you know, read it if you want, and whatever. And, but I deliberately got something that was not like an actual, like, professional ebook. It's just like something that some guy wrote and he uploaded. And it works exactly like it ought to work. You hit the thing, and it goes to the next page. So I don't really understand what needs to be done still for this to work.
I don't know.
All right. It's never going to be figured. It can't be solved.
The Senate so far has not advanced a bill to extend the deadline to file for federal unemployment insurance, as we discussed earlier. Mercer University economics professor Roger Tutterow predicts this will be a political football over the coming days and weeks.
I'm sorry, Tutterow?
Tutterow.
What is the
unemployment?
It sounds like you're doing some sort of quasi-insulting dialect there.
I'm just making up
Tutterow
names. As a, you know, Roger Zasplatz. I'm just making up names because, you know, it's the end of the show.
Really? Is it a story is written by Don Martin?
Yes.
Roger Kafui and Jimmy Katunga.
Whop.
Kafoom.
Whop.
All right. We should just
end
now. Or wait. No, I guess we can't. Because otherwise we'd just sit and stare at each other for 90 seconds. Yeah, but we can't possibly live up to the overture. Okay. What is the...
He predicts Roger Tutterow predicts that this will be a political football over the coming days and weeks.
I don't even know what cut this is.
Unemployment one.
All right. There's...
You may well see the benefit extension tied to extending tax cuts for all individuals. You know, we're far from done, I think, in terms of this political debate.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we're way funnier than that guy.
Yeah, he's really boring. We don't like him.
All right.
I guess I could share...
You know any knock-knock jokes?
No, I have a very short story. We could do this really quickly. Right. After months of aggressive lobbying by wireless companies, internet providers, cable companies, Google, Amazon, and consumer groups, FCC Chairman Julius Genachowski announced that the commission will vote later this month on rules designed to keep internet providers from slowing or blocking legal internet traffic. The Wall Street Journal says it's not clear who wins under the proposal because phone and cable companies would prefer no net neutrality rules. But consumer advocates say the proposal won't necessarily protect consumers. Regardless, the vote is expected to spark pushback from House Republicans and last-minute lobbying by industry and consumer groups.
See, I wish you hadn't brought. We hadn't used this as the last story because I got all kinds of questions. I don't even. Net neutrality is one of those things that makes me. I don't like it. I don't like the story. I don't like the news that, because I don't know how I feel about it, and I don't like things about which I am undecided. I have.
That's your phone. Playing the Arrested Development theme. Somebody didn't turn his phone off before the show.
I don't even know where my phone is. Oh, it's over there. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good, because it stopped me talking about net neutrality, because that's really what people want to hear about. I want to hear lots of programs where they talk about net neutrality, and then where they just read a series of prime numbers.
And then the theme from Arrested Development plays.
All right, well, we'll do this instead. That was another exciting installment of Legion of News for Wednesday, December 1st, 2010. Don't forget the Rick Emerson radio program. The best damn thing you've ever heard in your life comes up next at rickemerson.com after a brief musical interlude. Find out more at rickemerson.com. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, Dawn Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agnew, chief of staff Cheryl Kunikoa, and so forth. Don't forget this program is available via iTunes later on today or as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. We'll see you again tomorrow at noon. Until then, have a safe and satisfying Wednesday, won't you please?
The Rick Emerson Show begins shortly. Keep listening. This is the Emerson News Network.